Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Wednesday night edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Yesterday, the eyes of the whole world watched as Margaret Keenan and William Shakespeare, both in their 90s, became the very first people in history to receive the COVID-19 coronavirus vaccine in Britain. At the very same time that was happening, the BBC was publishing an attack piece on Now the End Begins for the work that we do and exposing this great deception. Today, people receiving the Pfizer COVID jab were collapsing in anaphylactic shock, and the National Health Service in the UK had to create resuscitation facilities for the vaccine victims. All this is grooming for the coming Mark of the Beast from Revelation 13. That's how close we truly are. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we're looking at the now-released COVID-19 coronavirus vaccine, and we're identifying it for what it truly is, the forerunner to the biblical Mark of the Beast, and we're going to explain all of that tonight. The actual mark will not come and cannot come until the church is removed in the pre-tribulation rapture. And so a careful understanding of what happens when dispensations overlap is critical to formulating a right assessment of what we're now seeing. As Bible believers, we must be willing to let Scripture tell us what we're looking at. And when we do that, we also have to be willing to believe what we are shown. Tonight, we will, Lord willing, connect the dots of end-time prophecy for you. So, whether or not you take the COVID-19 vaccine, at the very least, you will know exactly what it is you're receiving. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you're gathering in the chat room, Father God, and all these people around the world, Lord, who will listen to this program live and in the archives. And we thank you for the increase that you're giving us. We thank you for the thousands and thousands of new listeners that are coming in for the podcast and for the Bible studies. And as we increase our programming, Lord, you are blessing it. And you're increasing our worldwide witness, and we're so grateful for that, God. And as we do it, we pray for protection, we pray for provision, and we pray, Father God, that you would keep us safe while we do the work that you've called us to do. We also pray tonight, Lord, for Jeanette, who's getting her stitches out, and as she continues to recover from her surgery from last week, we just pray, Lord, that you continue to heal Jeanette, and let those stitches come out. Let everything be clean and let everything heal up, Father God. And we also pray for Lori C. Up in Maine. We pray that you would set a hedge of protection about her and her family, her children, Lord, and that you would keep the evil one away from that situation. And Lord, you would remove what needs to be removed there. And bring in what needs to be brought in. And we just pray for Lori C., Lord, that you would keep her and her kids safe as they continue to serve you day by day. And Father God, I pray a special blessing on everyone who will listen to this show tonight. I pray, Lord, that your word would go forward in spirit and in truth, and that lost people would hear this program and they would become saved. And, Father God, we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. If I seem a little bit disoriented tonight, if I seem that I can't tell the difference between Wednesday and Sunday, well, there's a good reason for that. Just hours before the start of our program tonight, I received word that the British Broadcasting Network, the BBC over in England, they decided to take a shot at Now the End Begins because we dared to expose to you and to the whole world just a couple of weeks ago, we exposed to you what was happening with this woman over in Texas, and she got these grievous sores on the bottom of her feet, and we reported faithfully what her GoFundMe page had said. We didn't make anything up. We didn't write any scintillating headlines that weren't true. And we simply brought you the story of Patricia Chandler, and we reported what she had said on her GoFundMe page. And yesterday, as Pfizer was rolling out in the UK, in England, as they were rolling out the very first COVID-19 jab, as they call it across the pond, as they were inoculating the very, very first people, Margaret Keener and William Shakespeare, the BBC was writing a hit piece on Now the End Begins. And read the story when you have time. It's an amazing story. What we did got picked up to such a degree that this woman's GoFundMe page was put on hold. Pfizer Pharmaceuticals got involved at the highest level. The BBC stepped in and wrote a story about Now the End Begins, and they called us, let me just pull up the quote so I'm not misquoting. The BBC referred to us as, where is it here? They called us an apocalypse-themed evangelical Christian site that promotes conspiracy theories about vaccines, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the U.S. election. She said, after we reported on this story went viral around the world, so much so that Pfizer and the BBC had to step in to try to neutralize the damage. Now, what did we do? What was the damage that we did? We reported the truth is what we did. And we told you what was happening. And by the time that this woman, Patricia Chandler, is done talking with the BBC and she's done talking with Pfizer and she's done talking with her doctors, she completely changes her story. Her story that had been on GoFundMe for weeks already. She had no problem. And then she has a secret backroom meeting with Pfizer. She speaks to a reporter from the BBC. And then this is what that woman, Patricia Chandler, had to say about her previous testimony. She said, I have to assume some culpability for putting my story out there. That's right. It was her story, and that's what we reported on. She said, it's social media. You share it for 1 second, and it gets picked up and goes viral. And then she says, my injury had nothing to do with the vaccine. My bad. People make mistakes. Well, why, I ask you, is the BBC publishing this story on the very same exact day that the whole world is watching Margaret Keener and William Shakespeare, yes, that's his real name, watching William Shakespeare, they're both in their 90s, and they are the very first human beings outside of a clinical trial to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. And what this tells me is that we are having an impact for the Lord. What this tells me is that our website is being discussed inside the boardroom at Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, the very people making the COVID vaccine. This tells me that Now the End Begins is being discussed as the hot topic within the British broadcasting company, the BBC, and all around the world. And so I want you guys to be encouraged tonight. The Lord has given us a platform, and we are literally using it to shake the whole world. And that excites me. And this is exactly what I've always envisioned this website doing, getting the truth out around the world while there's still time to react to it. There's still time to do something about it. So tonight, what else can we talk about from the Bible but the mark of the beast, which will arrive after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and I'm going to show you from the Bible, how the mark of the beast and the COVID-19 vaccine are connected. The COVID-19 vaccine is not the mark of the beast. You cannot have the mark of the beast until the church is removed. But, this is the preparation for the mark of the beast. My buddy Andy has a company that puts roof coatings on top of big commercial roofs and buildings. And it's a liquid membrane coating, and you have to apply it to the top of the entire roof. But before you can apply the coating to the roof, you have to prepare the surface. You have to do important steps to get that roof ready for the membrane coating. Now, the preparation is not the final product. The preparation for the roofing coating is very different from the liquid membrane that is sprayed onto the roof. But the preparation for that is critical. You cannot have the roof without the preparation. And the COVID-19 vaccine is not the mark of the beast, but it is the preparation for the mark of the beast. And I'm going to show you that tonight, and I'm going to show it to you not from my opinion. I'm going to show it to you from the pages of the Holy Bible. It's an exciting program tonight. And this is not, BBC, if you're listening, this is not conspiracy theory. What we're going to talk about tonight is factual truth. And you know what prophecy is? Bible prophecy is future history. It's not my opinion. It's not my interpretation. Bible prophecy is the future, the historical future ahead of time. And we're going to look at that tonight. And it's going to be a very timely, very exciting program. We have so much to cover. And I anticipate that we're not going to cover it all. So this is probably going to run into our Friday afternoon podcast. And that's how it's going to go. So very glad that you're here with us tonight. How great is the God that we serve?
And
serve a great God, and we serve a big God, and we serve a God that is right now preparing to insert himself into the affairs of men. And I don't know about you, but I am getting ready to fly. I am getting ready to get out of here. And I'm excited by that. I'm excited. I think about that every single day. Yesterday, we brought you this story, this amazing, amazing non-conspiracy theory story. For those of you who watch Project Runway, the show about fashion designers and fashion models, it might surprise you to learn that in April of 2019, Project Runway featured a fashion designer by the name of COVID, K-O-V-I-D, and that fashion designer made a hit with the judges when he designed a mask to wear with the outfit that he had created. Now, it may further surprise you to hear that that episode of Project Runway, Season 17, featuring a mask designer whose actual name is COVID, K-O-V-I-D, that program aired 33 weeks and 3 days before the first official COVID case at the end of 2019. So, for all you Freemasons who are emailing me and you're aggravated that I'm connecting the number 33 from Freemasonry with the COVID vaccine and the COVID virus, and I call it Messenger 33, you can stop emailing me now because that number 33 is absolutely connected to Freemasonry. It's absolutely connected to the Illuminati and the New World Order, and that number 33 is intimately connected with the mRNA COVID vaccine that we call Messenger 33. So I just thought that you might find that interesting that a fashion designer named COVID designed a fashion mask 33 weeks and 3 days before the first official case of COVID-19 coronavirus. Now, did you know that today, 24 hours after Pfizer began to give people the jab over there in jolly old England, did you know that people started passing out and going into anaphylactic shock after receiving the Pfizer COVID-19 coronavirus vaccine? This story from Breitbart.com. Britain's National Health Service, the NHS, confirmed on Wednesday that it is deploying, quote, resuscitation facilities, end quote, in coronavirus centers following the revelation that two healthcare workers suffered anaphylactoid reactions after receiving the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine on the very first day of rollout. And they issued guidance stating resuscitation facilities should be available at all times for vaccines. Vaccinations should only be carried out in facilities where resuscitation measures are available. So here we have the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine 24 hours after its release. We warn you about it. And what's happening? People are dropping like flies, dropping like flies due to anaphylactic shock from the Pfizer COVID 19 vaccine. The BBC, they can call us conspiracy theory all they like, but we're telling you the truth, people. We are telling you exactly how it goes, and I kind of like what she said, that we are an apocalypse-themed evangelical Christian site that promotes conspiracy theories about vaccines, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the U.S. election. Well, somebody tell the BBC that they can get in line behind the U.S. Cyber Command that in 2020 declared us to be a, quote, extremism, end quote, website. And the U.S. Cyber Command can get in line behind the Southern Poverty Law Center, who back in 2016 called us an anti-government group. And through it all, here we are. And why? Because the war is real. The battle is hot, and the time is short. And what do we say? We say to the fight, because that's exactly what we're in. We are in an end times fight. And you may not be aware of it, but if you stick around here long enough, you will know that we are in an end times battle. And God has already given us the victory.
In the dark of the midnight, have I hid my face, while the storms howl above me, and there's no hiding place near the crash of the thunder. Precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky.
Satan whispered, there is no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow the storms never darken the sky.
Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds
here's an interesting story for you that we did the other day. Highly respected retired Israeli general Chaim Eshed, he says that the United States and Israel for a number of years now has been in touch with what he calls space aliens, and that those conversations that the United States and Israel have been having with space aliens is intimately connected with the creation of the United States Space Force. Now, before you go and say that this general is a crazy person, I want to remind you of a couple of things. On April 28th of 2020, the U.S. Pentagon admitted that videos of UFOs that were taken by Air Force pilots are indeed legit, and that the encounters that they had with the aliens actually took place. In July, the Pentagon went a step further and said that they have recovered, quote, objects and vehicles not made on this earth, end quote, and that there is so much extraterrestrial activity that the Pentagon had to create something called the United Aerial Phenomenon Task Force inside the Office of Naval Intelligence on August 4th of 2020. These are facts. So, in light of all those things, in light of the fact that the U.S. government now admits that we have had recent, legitimate, verified, videotaped encounters with creatures from another planet, the government fully admits this now. Is it so shocking that this retired general would say that he has information that the United States and Israel and President Trump knows about these things? Well, if you're a Bible believer, you know that they're not demons, you know that they're not space aliens, and you know that Jesus says that the coming of the Son of Man would be like it was in the days of Noah. Matthew 24, verse 37. Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what event preceded the appearance of the Genesis 6 giants and the flood that overtook the entire earth? Well, you know what it was. It was the one-man rapture of the Gentile Enoch. That was the event that started the days of Noah. And Jesus says that the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be just like the days of Noah. And what event is going to precede or kick off the start of the time of Jacob's trouble? You guessed it. The 100% absolutely guaranteed and coming soon to a theater near you, pre-tribulation rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. Get ready!
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time and we ask for your blessing on tonight's Bible study. As we open your word and we believe what we find there, God, we ask you to bless it to us in a powerful way tonight. Open the hidden things of your word, Lord, and let us see it. Make it clear, make it plain. We love it, God. We love you. If nobody wants you, God, we want you. If nobody wants that dusty old archaic King James Bible, well, we want that dusty old archaic King James Bible that's more accurate than tomorrow's headlines. Lord, we thank you for all these that you've gathered here. We thank you, Lord, for healing Jeanette from the surgery. We thank you for watching over Lori C. and her family and her children. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for each one of us. We thank you for the provision and the protection that you give us here at Now the End Begins. And we thank you so much, Lord, that the entire world is reading the articles that we're writing, and they are reverberating in the offices of publishing conglomerates and billion-dollar pharmaceutical companies and the U.S. Cyber Command. Man, that's humbling, God. And it's exciting, and we thank you for the increase. And we just pray tonight, Lord, a special blessing if there's somebody here who was lost, who doesn't know you as Savior. We just pray, Father God, that something would be said and done that would lead a lost soul to you. And we commit this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Welcome, everybody. Well, we have a lot to cover. So tonight is one of those Bible studies where you want to keep the chatter in the chat room limited to what we're talking about in the Bible study. We have a ton of Bible verses that we need to go over. We need to set the table for what the mark of the beast is, what the beast is, and how it all connects with COVID-19. And believe me when I tell you, it absolutely connects with COVID-19. There is a direct connection between the current vaccine and the coming Mark of the Beast. So please, if you could just keep the chatter in the chat room limited to questions about what we're talking about in the Bible study, I would greatly appreciate that. So let's turn to let's start in Revelation 13. Let's start in Revelation 13, and let's remind ourselves what the mark of the beast is. Revelation 13, verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his authority," and great authority. So the Apostle John in Revelation 13:1 is standing on the sand of the sea. And what does he see? He sees the beast rising up out of the sea. He sees Satan coming up in the form that Satan exists in naturally. He is a beast like Leviathan from Job chapter 41. And his scales are so close together that water and air can't get through, that he can drink up an entire river in his mouth. Read Revelation 12 and you'll understand that Leviathan is exactly the same creature as the dragon in Revelation 12, who takes up the entire river Jordan into his mouth and shoots it at Israel as Israel flees to the Red Rock city of Selah Petra. So, this beast that's coming up out of the sea, it is Satan, and it's Satan inside the body of what looks like a human being. And that human being, as we have already identified for you, that is going to be Judas Iscariot. Now, I want you to think about this. The two witnesses come back. They are Moses and Elijah. They come back as the two witnesses. Jesus Christ comes back. He comes back as Jesus Christ. He comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the fourth person to make a reappearance is going to be Judas. And Judas is absolutely going to come back in Acts chapter 1 when Judas died. Now, you would think that Judas would go straight to hell when he died, and maybe he did, but this is where the book of Acts says that Judas went when he died. Acts 1:25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. So, a whole cast of biblical characters are coming back. When you get past Revelation chapter 5 in the book of Revelation, and they are coming back because it is their time, and they have been appointed to come back. So, in Revelation chapter 13, we see Antichrist, and he steps on the scene, and the Bible calls him the beast, and he is powered by the dragon. And that dragon is Satan himself. But for the first 3.5 years, the time that the Apostle Paul says, and turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:3, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and I'm going to remind you, it is the Apostle Paul who pulls back the curtain, and he shows us at the time of Jacob's trouble, has a 3.5 year period of peace and safety. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, not great tribulation, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, does that sound familiar to you? Paul is using the analogy of a woman giving birth and going through great travail, and he is likening that to Jeremiah 30:5-7. And this is what Paul is drawing your attention to. People ask me all the time, they say, how do you know that the time of Jacob's trouble from Jeremiah 30:7, how do you know that that's not only talking about the Babylonian captivity? Because of 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Paul says that it's a time that is yet future. And in Jeremiah chapter 30, we read about the biblical captivity of Israel in Babylon, but that's the historical application. The prophetical application reaches its fulfillment in the time of Jacob's trouble after the rapture of the church. Jeremiah 30:5-7 says, "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins?" Here it is. Here's the phrase he borrowed. "As a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." And the Apostle Paul gives us the tip-off that the time of Jacob's trouble is yet future. So, the first 3.5 years that we see Antichrist come on the scene, Revelation chapter 13, and it says this, okay, verse 4, Revelation 13:4. "And they worship the beast which gave power," they worship the dragon, Satan, "which gave power unto the beast," Antichrist, "and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who was able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and to them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him," Antichrist, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Okay? So this is Antichrist going into the time of the Great Tribulation. Now let me show you the very first place in the Bible. Jay is asking, "So will the mark not be implemented until the second half of the 7 years?" No. I'm going to answer that in just a little bit. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to show you where Antichrist comes on the scene. And we're going to, so get 2 Thessalonians 2 in one hand, and get Revelation chapter 6 in the other hand. Revelation chapter 6 in one hand, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the other. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-3 says this, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ, that's the rapture of the church, is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, it's usually, because we've talked about this many times before, usually at this point, I'll play you a clip that shows the great falling away of the end times Christian church, and tonight, I have a good one for you. Tonight, I have one that is just, it is the topper of all Laodicean audio clips that I've ever played. This is Paula White, as the keynote speaker at a conference for the Unification Church of the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, and we call his followers the Moonies. Now, why would Paula White be the keynote speaker for a Korean cult whose followers are called the Moonies? This is what she said at this conference, where she was the keynote speaker for the Unification Church of the Reverend Sun Myung Moon. Take a listen to Paula White.
I am so honored to be with you, and what an encouragement to the body of Christ and to you, Mother Moon, for your tireless efforts and gather people for the better cause. I congratulate you. God wants to bring restoration. So I pray that you, myself, along with Mother Moon, will be a part of that great restoration.
Mother Moon.
Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He said, "Whoever is not with me is against me.
Oh boy.
And whoever does not gather, scatters." We thank you for that spirit of gathering on you, Mother Moon. May the spirit of gather come upon you right now. And may God do a great work to gather us together. We are praying for me.
All right. That's all I can take of Mother Moon. But if you follow Paula White, if you're a fan of Donald Trump's spiritual advisor, if you think Paula White has the mantle of an apostle, as she claims, well, your apostle, Paula White, is now glorifying Mother Moon. You heard her say it with her own words in her own mouth. Paula White is glorifying Mother Moon. Oh, boy. So, getting back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Check, check, check. Falling away is complete. And that man of sin be revealed, comma, the son of perdition. Now, we have spoken about this many times as well. Look in that verse where it says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That comma after be revealed, that's exactly where the pre-tribulation rapture is going to go. And the man of sin, and I'm just going to put this into the chat room, the man of sin is revealed, and then the rapture of the church will take place, and after we go, that man of sin becomes the son of perdition, Antichrist. And as we have told you all year long, as we have told you this entire year, we believe, it's our opinion, and we're entitled to our opinion, are we not? It is our opinion that Emmanuel Macron checks all of the boxes as the biblical man of sin. And I'm going to put a link to an article that we did entitled, "Your Head Will Spin When You Realize That Emmanuel Macron Has Both Jewish Ancestry and Inexplicable Ties to Rome and the Assyrian Empire. And this is a great article that we did, Lori D. and myself. We wrote this together, and there is so much research that we put into it, hours and hours and hours of weeks of research, and we invite you to read it. And if you're not in the chat room, you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and just go to our powerful new search feature and type in Emmanuel Macron, and this article will pop right up for you. And we invite you to read the conclusions that we come to. And I think that you will agree, at least for the most part, that we're right on the money. And there is so much information in that article. We invite you to take a look and to check it out. Now, back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The first three verses talk about the conditions that need to be in place for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church to happen. And then it does happen. And look down starting in verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look down starting in verse 8. We're going to go from verses 8 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 through 12. And then, after the rapture, shall that wicked be revealed, Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the second advent. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, that's Antichrist, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Rejecting the truth of the gospel. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, clearly show you that anybody who misses the rapture of the church, they are going to have to deal with something that the Apostle Paul refers to as the strong delusion. And you're going to have to deal with that. And the strong delusion, now turn to Revelation chapter 6. The strong delusion is that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. That's what the strong delusion is. And take a look at Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is the opening of Daniel's seven-sealed book. And it gets opened at the end of Revelation chapter 5. And look at what happens when the Lamb opens one of the seals. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. If you make notes in your Bible, next to Revelation 6, 1 and 2, I want you to write 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Go to your Bible and write next to Revelation 6, 1 and 2, write 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. And then I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians 2, 11, and in the empty space, I want you to write Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Because this is the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. And the start of the time of Jacob's trouble is not the great tribulation. But God's wrath does not start to fall exclusively at the start of the time of the great tribulation. God's wrath is the revealing of Antichrist and sending the strong delusion so that you think, if you're left behind, you think that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. That is the very beginning of God's wrath in the time of Jacob's trouble. And all the commentators who want you to focus exclusively on the start of the 3.5 year period of what Jesus calls the Great Tribulation, they are misleading you and they are taking you to a wrong conclusion. God's wrath begins not with the Great Tribulation. God's wrath begins where 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 11 says that it begins. It begins with something called the strong delusion. Hal is asking, is that the strong delusion? Yes. The strong delusion is that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. I'll say that one more time. The strong delusion from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. And I want you to imagine what life would be like if every Bible-believing Christian was suddenly removed from the face of the earth all at the same time. For example, we're talking tonight about how the BBC personally attacked Now the End Begins because we dared to expose the truth about the Pfizer COVID vaccine. And they got so upset that we had so many people reading our article that the BBC had to do a hit piece on Now the End Begins. But what would happen if we weren't here? What would happen if no Bible-believing Christian was here? Then these people could operate clearly and unhindered. And that's what the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be like. 1 minute after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place, a worldwide famine will instantly transpire. But it won't be a famine of food, it will be a famine of not being able to have the Word of God. Amos chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. This is what's going to happen 1 minute after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place. Every single Bible on the face of the earth will become a brick that no one will be able to understand, no one will turn to for comfort, and until the 144,000 witnesses are raised up and sealed, the Bible becomes a closed book. And Antichrist can say whatever he wants, and there will be nobody, nobody to say, you're wrong, don't believe that guy. We have been dogging Emmanuel Macron every single major move that that man makes. We write about it, and Now the End Begins, and millions of people are reading about it. We are dogging the people who create the COVID vaccine. We are telling people about the dangers and the side effects. We are warning millions of people. Now, the Antichrist is not going to have anybody warning lost people about him, because every single person who could warn has already been taken in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And that allows the strong delusion that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. And turn to Revelation 13. Okay, let's go back there. We have to take a quick break, but before we do, go back to Revelation 13. And what does it say in verse 4? And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Right? And it says in verse 8 of Revelation 13, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And why is the entire world worshipping Antichrist? because there's no more Christians. All the Bible believers have been removed on Flight 777. And Antichrist, until the 144,000 witnesses are raised up, Antichrist is going to have 3.5 years of false peace and false security. And every time he opens his mouth, no one is going to turn and say, wait a second, that's not right, that's wrong, because every single person who knows the truth will be removed. And this is how we set the table for understanding the connection to the biblical mark of the beast under Antichrist and the coming COVID-19 vaccine. The two are absolutely connected. And when we get back, we're going to dive very deep into that. Stay with us. We're just getting started.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Now my life's worth living, since I've been forgiven. Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell.
Because
I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved
to new life of life. Life now is free and my joy is complete, for I'm saved.
Amen.
Going to hell.
Amen, amen, amen. It's preaching time. All right. We're back for hour two of Rightly Dividing Bible Study. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about the connection, the incredible connection between the COVID-19 vaccine and the coming Mark of the Beast. In the first half an hour, we set the table. We showed you what the Mark of the Beast, where it comes from. It comes from Antichrist. And Antichrist comes on the scene not for 3.5 years. He comes on the scene for 7 years. And the first part of that is the time of false peace, false security, and false safety. And Antichrist is allowed to do whatever he wants to do, and no one is going to say that he's the wrong guy, because everybody who could say that has already been removed on Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines, the affectionate term that we call the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Now, what happens next? Well, what happens next, get back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read this. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the Bible says that everybody who misses the rapture of the church, who heard the gospel preached, but rejected it, right? 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. That's the gospel of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 1:15-4, being preached, and God said that they rejected it, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 13 and let's take a look at the mark of the beast. Let's see exactly what this mark of the beast is and how Satan is going to operate. The first thing that I want to draw your attention to, and this will be a reference to the Paula White clip that we played earlier, showing how she was asking for God's blessing on cult leader Mother Moon. Oh, help me, Lord. I can't even say that with a straight face, but the sad part is it's true. It's real. Paula White asking for God's blessing on Mother Moon from the Unification Church, which just shows you how absolutely seared Paula White's conscience is. And she's Donald Trump's spiritual advisor, for those of you thinking that Donald Trump is going to somehow overturn the election. I wouldn't hold my breath if I were you. Jesus said when they came for him in the garden, now is your hour in the power of darkness. It is time for the power of darkness to rise. Joe Biden up on deck, Kamala Harris right behind him. But in Revelation chapter 13, Antichrist comes with signs, miracles, and wonders. And every once in a while, I'll have somebody push back on that, and they'll tell me, how is it possible that God would allow Antichrist to do miracles? Well, if you don't understand that, well, you've never read the book of Revelation. Revelation 13, verses 11 through 14. Revelation 13, 11 through 14. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. This is the false prophet. And he exercises all the power of the first beast, that's Antichrist, before him. And he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. Now listen to this. Revelation 13:14. And deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, I said all that to say this. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. One particular man, Antichrist, and his number is 666. Now, without any further ado, I have spent the last 40 minutes preparing you to see how this connects with the COVID-19 vaccine. You have to understand that the mark of the beast, according to the biblical definition, is an implantable mark, whether or not it's a microchip, whether or not it's a microneedle quantum dot tattoo, whatever it turns out to be, we're not going to split hairs about the technology. But suffice to say that the verses that I just read to you in Revelation chapter 13, the mark of the beast is an implantable mark that goes inside your body, either in the back of your right hand, or it goes into your forehead, and when that device is implanted inside your body, it is going to control all buying and selling. Now, with that in mind, let me give you just a few recent headlines that you may have missed. And I want to begin to draw a very pertinent connection between the mark of the beast and the COVID global vaccine. So the first thing that I want you to understand is that this COVID vaccine is a global vaccine. It is not being designed for the recipients in any one country. It is being designed for the inhabitants of the earth. So, the COVID-19 vaccine, the first connection that it has with the mark of the beast is that in both cases, they are designed for every single person on the face of the earth. All right? Last Sunday, in New York City, Bill de Blasio, he was given the pulpit of a Christian church called the New Life Outreach International Church. And Mayor Bill de Blasio stood in that pulpit and he urged New Yorkers to receive the coming COVID-19 vaccine. The pastor of that church, Pastor Fernando Cabrera, he told his flock not to worry that the vaccine was connected to 666 and the mark of the beast. Those are his words. Those are not my words. And that happened last Sunday. What else has been going on? Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, George Bush, Boris Johnson, who is the Prime Minister of the UK, and the head of the World Health Organization, they are going to appear on global television so that you can watch them pretend to get vaccinated with the shot. And they are doing that as COVID feeder, because they want you to trust these shots, even though in England, not even 24 hours after the release of the first shot, they have to be setting up resuscitation centers because people are passing out from anaphylactic shock. And that this is just the very tip of the iceberg. This is just the very, very beginning. Okay, so everything connected about and to the coronavirus vaccine is global. It is meant for every single human being on the face of the earth. Now, the vaccine minister of the UK and the vaccine minister of Israel and in other countries around the world, they are trying to reassure you and they are telling you that the vaccines are not going to be mandatory. But if you don't take the vaccine, you're not going to be able to fly on airlines like Qantas Airlines, because they're not going to allow you to fly if you can't prove that you've had the vaccine. If you live in Israel, if you can't prove that you had the vaccine, they're not going to make you take it, but they're going to put you in a red zone. And the red zone is you can't leave your house. And the red zone is you can't go shopping. You see what's happening here? They are saying with one side of their mouth that the COVID vaccine is not going to be mandatory. But then with the other side of their mouth, they are saying that you will not be able to interact with society unless you have had the COVID vaccine. I read reports just yesterday where Fortune 500 corporations are going to begin to make the COVID vaccine mandatory for employees of companies like Citibank and Pfizer and all these different corporations. You're going to see in the next couple of months, you're going to see all the major Fortune 500 companies saying, no, we're not going to make you take that vaccine. But if you don't take it, you can't work at our company. Now, if you can't work a job, what can't you do? If you can't work a job, you can't make any money. You see how this thing is connected to buying, how it's connected to selling? Now, 2 weeks ago, we showed you that the United Nations is now rolling out something for their 35,000 employees. They are rolling out a digital biometric ID that is going to follow all of their 35,000 plus employees, and it's going to record and tabulate every single thing that these people do. And it is a prototype for something that's going to be rolled out by other companies and other corporations, and on it goes. If you've been paying attention to the headlines, then you already know that more lockdowns are coming. And if you don't take the vaccine, you're going to get locked down. And Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci, they're already saying that if Biden gets in January, we are going to go into a 100-day mandatory mask wearing. And they are absolutely going to restrict your movements. They're going to restrict your travel. They're going to restrict your interaction with society if you don't take that vaccine. So what are they going to do? The last step is having the government step in and make you take it. But the first step is going to be political pressure, social pressure, and economic financial pressure. And that's exactly what they're doing, and it's working. It worked with the mandatory mask wearing. It worked with the lockdowns. Remember, 15 days to flatten the curve? We are in month number nine of 15 days to flatten the curve. It never really went away. And here we are on Breitbart.com. Joe Biden vows masking plan for first 100 days in office. He says requiring masks for the first 100 days is going to be a patriotic act. And if you don't wear the masks, you will not be able and allowed to interact with society. So, the COVID-19 vaccine is a little bit more than 24 hours old from the time that it was first released yesterday in England. And already you are starting to see all these major corporations, and what are they doing? They are threatening your ability to buy and sell anything if you do not take the COVID-19 vaccine. You won't be able to fly internationally. You won't be able to hold a job. You won't be able to go into public places. And this gets back ultimately to buying and selling with the mark of the beast. So, when Antichrist comes onto the scene, he's going to arrive to a global population that has already been trained and already been conditioned to take an injectable something provided to them by the government, and by that point they will have stopped resisting. And we're starting to see that even before the rapture has taken place. You are seeing people by the millions who are clamoring to receive this vaccine. They are excited to receive this vaccine. And publications like the BBC, they're attacking websites like Now the End Begins because the pressure for everybody... Excuse me. The pressure for everybody to take this vaccine is absolutely overwhelming. And here's what I want to warn you about and what I want to prepare you for. Because we are going to experience pressure, social, political, and economic pressure, the likes of which you have never experienced. Have you ever gone into a supermarket and seen people glaring at you because you don't wear a mask? I have heard so many stories of people shouting and yelling and causing fights because, you know, 97% of the store, everybody's wearing their mask, and people walk in without them, and those people are attacked, and they're verbally abused, and they're castigated. And I want you to imagine that times 10, times 100. And that's the type of pressure, now that this vaccine is coming out, it's going to be coming to America next week. It's going to be coming to America next week. And the pressure for you to take this vaccine is going to be it's going to be a crushing, crushing pressure. And you are going to be threatened with economic deprivation if you don't take it. So, the COVID-19 vaccine is the PSYOP. It is the psychological operation that they are rolling out. Now, here in St. John's County, we live in Northeast Florida. Here in St. John's County, we have had 10,000 cases of the COVID-19 coronavirus. 100 people have died from the COVID-19 coronavirus. That is 0.1% fatality in this very large county where we live in Northeast Florida. 0.1% of people in my county who have gotten COVID have died. Now, that is many times smaller than people who have died from the flu. There is no mask wearing for the flu, even though in 2019, going into 2020, 52,000 people died from the flu. At no point was an emergency called. No mask wearing was mandatory. Nothing was rationed. Nobody was locked down. Nobody was told to stay home. And yet, 52,000 people died from the flu in the 6 months before COVID came on the scene. Nobody seemed to care about those 52,000 souls. Now, you have a vaccine that they want to force every single human on the face of the earth to take, and here in St. John's County, it only has a 0.1% fatality rate. So you have to ask yourself, why would they do that? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 and let's look at some of the things which will be taking place in the time of Jacob's trouble after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Starting in verse 7. Matthew 24:7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We're starting to see a little taste of that now. And talking about how the BBC is attacking Now the End Begins, and they're trying to silence us. They're trying to make us look like conspiracy mongers because they are trying to prepare the way for the vaccine people to be successful with their messenger 33 vaccine. So here in Matthew 24, it says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And then look down in verse 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the grace of God, but this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Look in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, we understand from this that one of the things that has to happen is the temple is going to be rebuilt. Matthew 24:15 says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, that's Antichrist, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's Daniel 9:27, standing in the holy place, that's the rebuilt temple, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. That's Revelation chapter 12. That's Revelation chapter 12. Now, let's talk for a moment about the Abraham Accords. We're going to just talk for a brief moment about the Abraham Accords. This was rolled out on August 13th of 2020, and this is involving the many Muslim nations that surround Israel, and one by one they're beginning to make peace with Israel, and they're beginning to, what they call, normalize their relations with Israel. And the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain. Now, what's going to happen when Joe Biden comes into power? What's going to happen to the Abraham Accords? Well, you might want to think that because they were orchestrated under Donald Trump's watch, that it's possible that Joe Biden just might wave his pen and get rid of them. But it's not likely that that will happen, because the Abraham Accords are a very, very powerful thing. And it's the beginning of the Daniel 9:27 peace process. The Abraham Accords is not the covenant with Antichrist, but it leads you to the covenant with Antichrist. In exactly the same way, the COVID-19 vaccine is not the mark of the beast, but it leads you to the mark of the beast. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 say this, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." So the Abraham Accords, let me make a opinion-based prediction what's going to happen with the Abraham Accords. The Abraham Accords are going to continue no matter who is going to be the president. Doesn't matter. The Abraham Accords are not going to go away. But Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed from the UAE, he stood up in front of the United Nations after the signing of the Abraham Accords, and he informed the United Nations that the UAE is going to insist on a two-state resolution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict that will be based on the pre-1967 lines in the spirit of the Abraham Accords peace deal it signed with Israel back in August. UAE Foreign Minister Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed told that to the UN General Assembly on September 30th of 2020. So, where does the Abraham Accords take you? It takes you to a peace treaty with every Muslim nation, including the Palestinians, who are going to get what they want. They are going to get their own state inside the borders of the nation of Israel. And you say to me that will never happen because Israel will never agree to it. Before we take this break, I want to ask you, can you think of anything that they could offer Israel that would make Israel say, okay, if you give us that, then we will agree to the creation of a Palestinian state? Can you think of anything anything at all that Israel could be offered, and they would say, yes, if you give us that one thing, we will agree to the creation of a Palestinian state. And Jeanette had the answer first, the rebuilt temple. And so I submit to you today that one thing that the Abraham Accord is going to provide, you are going to see a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians. Israel will give land, and they'll agree to the creation of a side-by-side Palestinian state. And in exchange for that Palestinian state, Israel will be allowed to rebuild their temple so that Matthew 24 can be fulfilled. And we may even see the beginnings of those negotiations taking place before we're removed in the rapture of the church. That's how close that we are. And with that, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we still have a half hour to go. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. are back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible teaching topic, the connection between the COVID-19 coronavirus vaccine and the coming biblical mark of the beast from the Bible. And we've been showing you all night tonight the various connections that you have between the COVID-19 vaccine and how it's going to be related to buying and selling, and the coming biblical mark of the beast that's going to be revealed after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Now, they're already beginning to put pressure on us. They're already beginning to connect your willingness to take the vaccine with your continued ability to participate in the global marketplace. We told you in Israel that they're creating green zones and red zones, and the green and red have nothing to do with Christmas. They have to do with the fact that green is go and red is no, and you will be placed in the red zone if you do not take the COVID vaccine. And we invite you, if you haven't subscribed to Now the End Begins, it's completely free, and we don't sell your email address, but with all the pressure and all the attention that Now the End Begins is getting, we urge you, not just invite you, but we urge you to sign up for our free subscription service so that if we are removed from social media, and they're removing people every single day, they're limiting people's post views, and they're blocking commenting all the time. I am still on 30 more days of a 60-day Facebook ban where I can't comment, and I have to have Lori C. help me repost the stories because I don't have the ability to do that anymore, because Facebook has, for the past 4 weeks, and I have another 4 weeks to go, they have they are preventing me from posting my own stories to the very group and pages that I started a decade ago. So the powers that be are cracking down. So we invite you to go to our website, nowtheendbegins.com, and sign up for our free subscription service so that if we're ever kicked off of social media, you can still get our articles directly to your email. And we highly advise you to do that because they are bearing down hard on us. So, we were talking about the mark of the beast. We were talking about the coming third temple. And that temple is coming. And all these things are all coming together at the same time. So, it is not a coincidence that we are right now, and we've told you about this since March of this year. For the past 9 months, we have told you that a global vaccine was coming, and now it's here, and already crazy things are starting to happen. So let's take a little bit of a review of what we told you was coming, and indeed is now here. And don't forget, we still haven't heard from Bill Gates. Have you found it strange that Pfizer is now rolling out their vaccine, and Moderna is getting ready to roll out their vaccine? And how come Bill Gates is silent? I don't see anything on YouTube. I don't see anything on Twitter. Bill Gates is virtually, he is silent. And the reason for that is because he has some huge tricks up his sleeve. And he knows that he got overexposed in the first 6 months. And what happened is websites like ours and other websites exposed Bill Gates to a very, very high degree. So much so that he was forced to step away from the limelight. Now, make no mistake about it. Pfizer, the same company that rolled out the vaccine yesterday, Pfizer receives millions of dollars from the Gates Foundation to do research and to do work. If you were to go to the GatesFoundation.org And you can see that back on September of 2016, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation awarded $17,252,854 to Pfizer Incorporated, and they wanted to do research on pneumonia. Now, what's one of the things that you get if you have coronavirus? You get pneumonia. And so Bill Gates has already primed the pump. He's already primed the pump with Pfizer. And we told you how USA Today, Reuters, and what was the third one? There was a Snopes. They all said that there's no connection between Bill Gates and Moderna. And then we showed you the page on the Moderna website where they're bragging about the $20 million that they received in 2016 from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, Bill Gates has released a statement, and he released this statement yesterday. I told you that he was getting ready to come out of the closet, and it appears that yesterday was the day where he came out of the closet. And he said that there could be as many as half a dozen COVID-19 vaccines approved and ready for distribution by the spring of 2021 as medical advancements to combat the coronavirus ramp up. Bill Gates went on to say, I expect that we'll have about six vaccines approved by the first quarter, Gates said Tuesday, speaking virtually at the Singapore FinTech Festival. In addition to the already selected approved Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, and I just showed you how Bill Gates has already given millions of dollars to Pfizer, Gates said that candidates from Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and Novavax would also likely be granted authorization over the coming months. He did not name the sixth vaccine source, but every single one of the ones that he did name are pharmaceutical companies that receive multi-million dollar grants from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So, he has already primed the pump. Can you imagine the type of confusion that's going to be caused here in America if his timeline is correct? And we're going to see up to half a dozen different vaccines from six different pharmaceutical companies, and they are all vying for your attention. Kind of makes you wonder, are all those vaccines the same? And if they're all the same, why can't one company make them? Why do you have to have six different companies making six different vaccines? They all can't be exactly the same thing. And so what's going to happen is you're going to be overwhelmed with information. You're going to have so much pulling at you that I can guarantee you right now, you're not going to have the mental bandwidth to figure it out. And you're going to begin to doubt yourself. And you're going to begin to wonder, maybe I should take that vaccine. If everybody is telling me to take it, maybe I should take it. And if six different major pharmaceutical companies are rolling out six different vaccines, which one do I take? You're going to have a mental breakdown trying to figure all that stuff out. Now, I'm not telling you to take it or not take it. That's a decision that you're going to have to make yourself. But as for me and my house, I've already decided that I will not be taking it, and I will be urging my children, over whom I still have authority, I will be urging my children to do likewise and to not take the vaccine themselves. Why would you want to vaccinate yourself against something that has a 0.1% mortality rate? That makes no sense of any kind. And on the other side of the coin, you have these six different pharmaceutical companies, and they are all connected with Bill Gates. They all take his money, they all take his grants, and have for many, many, many years. So, you need to start preparing yourself. And I tried to prepare you all the way back in March and April and May. And we've been shouting it from the housetops what's coming. Now, I've never taken a flu shot. I don't think that the flu vaccine is connected to the Mark of the Beast. I've never felt that in my spirit. I've never talked about that. But I have noticed that a lot of people have taken the flu vaccine, and some people have done okay. Some people have gotten the flu right after taking the flu vaccine. And some people have wound up in intensive care in the hospital on a ventilator after receiving a shot of the flu vaccine. So vaccines are very, very tricky things. Now, this vaccine that was released by Pfizer yesterday is a vaccine that is called an mRNA vaccine. It does not work the same way that other vaccines work. It works by giving commands and instructions to your DNA. Elon Musk is convinced that the mRNA vaccine is very, very, very bad for you. And he is urging people to not take it. And I would not take the mRNA vaccine, no matter who was offering it to me. So you're going to have to think about these things, and you're going to have to get mentally straight as to what you believe and what you don't believe about the coming vaccine that's going to be here in America in just a week. Now, do you remember that story that we showed you 2 days ago? Going all the way back to December 11th of 2001, we showed you a gathering of global elites. And among them, we saw Anthony Fauci. We saw Bill Gates Sr. We saw George Soros. And we saw David Rockefeller. Tessa in the chat room is saying, all this stuff is making me tired. And guess what? That's exactly my point. They are going to mentally beat you into submission, and you won't know which direction to turn. And it's going to seem like all this is coming at you from every possible angle. And all of this stuff has already been planned for many, many decades. Why do you think that Anthony Fauci in 2010, why do you think that he was in a leadership role with Bill Gates for something called the Global Vaccine Action Plan? That's what Anthony Fauci was doing with Bill Gates back in 2010. In 2001, Anthony Fauci was posing for photos with Bill Gates Sr. and having a good old time while all the global elites were congratulating each other and giving themselves awards. Can you see how long that these things have been planned? Are you starting to feel that there is a conspiracy afoot? Because there absolutely is. And we warned you about that back on April 9th. We told you that Anthony Fauci, who has become a beloved doom prophet fomenting mass hysteria among the American public amidst the coronavirus pandemic, he used to work with technocratic oligarch Bill Gates on his Global Vaccine Action Plan. And what is the Global Vaccine Action Plan? It is giving a vaccine to every single person on the face of the earth, whether they need it or not. And that's exactly what they are doing right now. Take a listen to what Bill Gates said to Anderson Cooper back on August 10th. Take a listen to this, and let's refresh our memories.
I was reading the New York Times. There are 16,000 Facebook posts espousing conspiracy theories about you and the virus. I've seen these things. They're liked or commented on 900,000 times on YouTube. The top 10 videos that spread lies about you had almost 5 million views. It's also pointed out that according to Signal Labs, which is a media analysis company that tracks this, misinformation about you is the most widespread of all coronavirus falsehoods. So there's a conspiracy theory that one of our viewers asked about. I just want to play that sound.
What would you say to the fringe portions of the public, like conspiracy theorists, that seem to think that you're somehow responsible for the outbreak?
There's also a conspiracy theory that you're pushing vaccines because you're going to inject people with a tracking device when they get the vaccine. It's all part of a so-called globalist plot to control the world. QAnon folks are, which is actually a group that's been targeting me as well lately. They're claiming falsely that I'm somehow connected with Jeffrey Epstein and global cabalists of sex traffickers. It's insane. What do you say to people who believe this stuff? Because, I'm sure you are inundated by people direct messaging me just insane stuff.
Yeah, the combination of having social media spreading things that are very titillating, to have this pandemic where people are uncertain and they prefer to have a simple explanation, it's meant that these things are really millions of messages a day. And people like myself and Dr. Fauci become the target. Often the clever thing they do, our foundation has given more money to buy vaccines to save lives, than any group. So you just turn that around. You say, okay, we're making money and we're trying to kill people with vaccines or by inventing something. And at least it's true, we're associated with vaccines, but you actually have, sort of flipped the connection that we have there. I hope it doesn't create vaccine hesitancy. I hope, this whole story of innovation that's going on, that we do get the benefit of that. It's really the only good news I'm bringing you today is that the diagnostic, therapeutic, and vaccine innovation, these amazing private sector companies, without the coordination you would have liked, but they are doing it. And I do think people on the therapeutic side will be surprised. And, these are well-meaning people. This is a time where people are doing great work. And, so I hope the conspiracy stuff dies down. It's really, the numbers kind of blow my mind. And it's not just the fringe people that you would normally think of.
It's not at all. I can tell you, I get stuff from people who seem, they have lives, they have families. I don't know if they genuinely believe this.
All right, so we'll stop them there. Bill Gates bragging about the great work that he does, and here's an article from the UK Guardian saying that new polio outbreaks in Africa caused by mutation of strain in polio vaccine that was administered by the Bill Gates Foundation. So, while Bill Gates is bragging to you about the great work that he's doing, in Africa, there are all these new cases of polio breaking out from the live vaccine that the Bill Gates Foundation has been administering to the African people. So, the truth is always much more interesting than the conspiracy theory. But that was Bill Gates from a couple of months ago talking with Anderson Cooper. And obviously you heard Anderson giving him a pre-scripted, pre-arranged softball question that he could easily answer. And he was saying, I hope there's not going to be vaccine hesitancy and all these things. And Bill Gates, first and foremost, you've got to get out of your head. He is not giving anything. Bill Gates is making billions and billions and billions of dollars from the sale of these vaccines. He wouldn't be doing it if he wasn't making all this money. He has made almost more money from the work that he is doing in the medical industry than he did from Microsoft. And remember when he famously gave away half his fortune? Well, he got that whole half back. And he didn't get it from Microsoft stock. He got it because he is investing all of these multi-million dollar grants that the Gates Foundation gives to companies like Moderna and Pfizer. Do you think that they're just giving them the money? No, they are not just giving. They are investing. They are investing in pharmaceutical companies. Now, we're just about out of time for today. But we are going to be hitting this topic very, very hard in the next coming weeks, and especially next week, as we begin to see the vaccine being rolled out here in America. And let me just conclude with, the COVID-19 vaccine is not the mark of the beast, but it absolutely leads you to the mark of the beast. And I told you earlier that in the United Kingdom, they're having people who are passing out with anaphylactic shock, and you are going to see all sorts of negative reactions and all sorts of bad reactions, right down to that woman in Texas with the GoFundMe. And she had one position, then we wrote about it, and it got a lot of attention, and then she meets with Pfizer, and then she suddenly changes her story. So you've got to be convinced in your own mind that you know what you know what you know, because I promise you that they are going to bombard you. They are going to dazzle you. They are going to overwhelm you with social, political, and economic pressure to make you take that vaccine. And you need to figure all this stuff out before you are faced with that question, so that you don't get duped into doing something that you're going to regret later. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. I thank you so much for being a part of Now the End Begins, and I thank you so much for sharing our articles, for praying for this ministry, for donating to this ministry, for helping to keep us alive and on the air for 11 years now. And the way that I look at it, the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. And that fight that we're always talking about, to the fight, that fight has arrived. And we are in the thick of it right now. And let's keep our eyes on the Lord, and let's keep looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday at noon Eastern time for another edition of our NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Good night, everybody.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him. For yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him.